Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Welcome to Vox Novus, the new voice. The word mother suggests images of comfort, home, safety, caring, and of course, motherly love. Coming after a trying and difficult year, many of us long for that special, loving energy. Some of us have lost our mothers, while the physical separation mandated by the pandemic has resulted in being distant from some moms. There are many who experience connection with a divine mother as a source of inspiration, comfort, and ultimate motherly love. Is there a way of bringing that energy, goddess energy, into our lives as a complement to our existing faiths and belief systems? My guest this week on Vox Novus, Reverend Lori Sue Brockway, had that very experience more than two decades ago with the Hindu goddess Lakshmi. Reverend Lori Sue Brockway has written extensively on women's spirituality, self-esteem, emotional health, relationships, and weddings. The foundation of her ministry is to celebrate all traditions and to include all aspects of the divine. For more than 20 years, Reverend Lori Sue has presided over a multicultural wedding ministry based in New York and is widely recognized as an expert on interfaith, intercultural, and highly personalized non-denominational weddings. She honors relationships between all couples and believes in focusing on the common denominator of love. She's a graduate of the New Seminary for Interfaith Studies. She received her BA in Human Development from SUNY and studied Marriage and Family Therapy at Mercy College. She's the author of more than 30 books, including Your Interfaith Wedding and her groundbreaking bestseller, The Goddess Pages. Her website is RevLoriSue.com, and she joins me this week to discuss her path and her book, Lakshmi Magic. Please join me in welcoming to Vox Novus, Reverend Lori Sue Brockway. Welcome, Lori Sue.
Hi, honey.
And she calls me honey. For those of you who don't know, Lori Sue and I have been together for 21 years. We've been married for 16 glorious years. She's my partner, my twin flame soulmate, and my love. So thank you for joining me, honey.
I'm happy to be here. And you and I have been together for about as long as Lakshmi and I have been together. So... We've been on this journey together.
That's right. So how did you go from being a journalist, an author, and an editor to interfaith ministry?
Well, my dad became very fatally ill. And in the dying process and trying to figure out how to bury him, I ended up doing the funeral myself with two friends of mine who helped create a circle with my sisters and my mother. And we did some very spiritual and non-traditional things, but my uncle had brought a Methodist minister with him, and he said, I think you should let Reverend Hector say a few words, and I did, and then afterwards, Reverend Hector came up to me and said, can you ride in the car with me to the diner? And I was so sure he was going to tell me that I had done something sacrilegious, but he said to me, have you ever thought of becoming a minister? And in my mind, I was thinking, no, because I had just about 2 weeks before left one of my jobs at Playgirl magazine as a editor at large. And formerly, I had been the editor-in-chief. And I was writing books on sex and sexuality and sexy romance books at the time. So I really didn't see myself as a ministerial candidate. But sometimes you hear what you need to hear at the right time. And so I got the call, and I made a call to Rabbi Gelberman, and I enrolled in the seminary. I brought my $100 deposit, and I just started.
Was being someone who covered women's issues part of the path that led you to studying the feminine divine?
Yes, I think it was a huge part of the path, because one of the things I found in interviewing thousands and thousands of men and women over the years, because I was a relationship reporter for quite some time, was that women suffered in extreme ways from lack of self-esteem. We would elevate men to a pedestal, but not ourselves. And so when I first heard there was a goddess, a divine female, I thought, well, that will help us really accept ourselves. If we know there's a divine feminine, then she must be part of us. And I think all that background in women's journalism really led me to that point of...
How did Lakshmi come into your life?
Well, once I started seminary school, and my, you know, Alexander was about 5 years old or four, he was very young, and he had disabilities and he had not been well. And at the time, I was a single mother, and I was struggling to pay my bills because I had given up all my sex books and sex assignments and all the work I had been doing at that time. And so I was really low on income. And one day I took a stick of incense into the bathroom with me, because I had heard in my studies that our prayers go up to the gods in rings of smoke. And I was, you know, creating rings of smoke in my bathroom. And suddenly I had what I can only call a divine vision. Woman came to me in a green sari, at least in my mind's eye, and said, build a shrine to me. I just was like, what? And I thought I was hallucinating. And, you know, I was very stressed out. I thought I was going to have to quit seminary. And this figure came to me. And so I went on this adventure to try to figure out who she was.
Now, had you had any knowledge of Lakshmi prior to that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm trying to remember the exact connection, because I really found out about her through this small, the owner of this tiny little Hindu store that my friend Patricia Keneally Morrison had taken me to. And I literally, when I started to get this call, like after that vision of Lakshmi, I went to that store and I sat on the floor. I remember it was right next to the American Express building. And right before I went into that store, I saw this beautiful woman in a sari standing outside. And I went in and I sat on the floor and I looked through these old postcards from India. And the owner came up to me and he was saying, oh, that's so-and-so, that's so-and-so. And then I see the woman of my vision, and it was Lakshmi. And he said, that's the goddess Lakshmi. She's one of the most popular goddesses in the Hindu pantheon. And I went on this continued adventure. Now, of course, I was a single mother with a tiny child who had to be close to a hospital. So I could not go anyplace like India. But I talked to every cab driver I met who was Hindu. I went to Indian restaurants. I went, and then I started hanging out at the Hindu temple. And I was just, you know, absorbing as much information as I could.
Very few people know that Jimmy Carter, in part, inspired your connection to Lakshmi. How did the president inspire your connection
yeah,
to Lakshmi?
Yeah, and he probably doesn't know this either, but he's a good guy, and I'm sure he would be, he'd appreciate it. Well, this is going back to, I think, 1999. I was working on a book project, and I went to interview him in Plains, Georgia, where he had a Sunday school. And he ended up calling upon me to do the, he said, are there any pastors in the room? This was like 1 month after my ordination. And I raised my little hand and he said, there were like 14 other pastors. He said, I'm gonna ask the lady pastor from New York to do the opening prayer. And I remember at that point in my life, I was really trying to come into my holiness, but I was wearing a wonder bra because I was still sort of coming from that other part of my life, and I could barely breathe. Plus, I had driven, you're going to laugh that I was actually driving, but I had to drive from Atlanta to Plains overnight to get there on time. And as a result of me doing the prayer, he gave me an interview, and he started to talk about his own relationship to spirit and to Jesus in a way that was so profoundly moving and touched me so deeply. And, you know, I came away from it thinking, why don't I have a relationship like that with a divine being? Christianity wasn't the religion of my birth, and my mother never really instilled a lot of Judaism in me. And I didn't really have that kind of relationship to God, Goddess, all there is. I was just learning. And, you know, in seminary, you are grappling with God all the time. And I was grappling with the idea of God, Goddess. What if I start praying to a goddess and the male god gets upset with me and strikes me with lightning and kills me? Who would raise my son? And you know, so I had all these concerns about including feminine divine. And yet, Jimmy Carter inspired me to know that we can all have a close personal relationship with the divine as we experience or choose. The other thing that happened on the way home, after I was driving back to the airport in Atlanta, and I stopped at one of those rest stops, and there was a trailer parked out in the, like, sort of the parking lot, and it said the truck driver's ministry. And I went in and I looked, and there were 12 chairs in a circle, and there was a book on each one of them saying the truck driver's guidebook. And I picked it up, and it was the New Testament. And it just made me think, if truck drivers have their own divinity, and of course, this is not to negate anybody else's religious beliefs, but it was just on my path, it was just like another little signpost that said that we all have our own way of seeing God, Goddess, all there is.
And on that path to the divine, to the feminine divine, you connected with the famous magician Doug Henning. How did that come about?
Well, I was in a business meeting with him, and he and all the important people from the TM organization were trying to raise funds, I think, for a school that would have people meditating 24 hours a day, people all over the world taking different shifts to bring about world peace. And they had this whole dog and pony show of, like, charts and scientific studies. And
TM, Transcendental Meditation.
Yes,
right.
Thank you. And I was just so in awe that, because I knew him from television as a kid, and he looked at my neck. I was wearing this beautiful little golden feather that my friends had given me for ordination, and he said, "That is the most beautiful feather I'd ever seen." And we just struck up a conversation, and they invited me to lunch with them. And as I was sitting, I took them to a local Chinese restaurant. And as we're all sitting there talking, myself, Doug, and like different, you know, a president, another person from the organization, doctor, scientists, I told him that I was on this journey with Lakshmi. And he said, "Oh, well, you know, she is part of this huge whole. She's an aspect, a facet." And I said, "You mean like a disco ball? She's a facet of a disco ball?" And he said, "Yeah, I guess you could put it that way." And I suddenly had this recognition that, especially as an interfaith minister, that the divine, all there is, just had many faces. And Lakshmi's face, and of course, Lakshmi looks like she could be from my family and look like my mother. I realized that she was the aspect who was calling to me. And of course, you know, over time, I've many other aspects of the divine and the goddess have called to me and worked with me. But Lakshmi has always been my guiding goddess.
Share a bit with our listeners about who Lakshmi is.
Well, you know, Lakshmi is the goddess of fortune and beauty in the Hindu tradition. And every place where there's beauty, there's Lakshmi. And in the Hindu tradition, she is honored and appreciated and loved so dearly because she, and I really see her as a universal goddess because she always has gold coins pouring out of her hands. And what they really represent is the abundance of both spiritual and financial wealth. But, you know, when you're going through financial problems, That's the goddess to pray to.
And she's also the goddess of the home and the hearth, right?
Well, she's, you know, the Hindu pantheon has different aspects. And in some aspects, she is, because she walks the earth. She walked the earth as Sita, the wife of Rama, who is considered one of the symbols of womanhood. The story, I don't know, I think a lot of Hindu women might want to rewrite that story a little, but basically in that aspect she was. And she walked the earth as Radha, who is really the partner of Krishna, and he's the great avatar, and she was the gopi cowherdess who was his favorite. And they represent the relationship between the divine and humanity, and also there's a little bit of sexiness between them. She's also Mahalakshmi, the divine mother of all that is, and she's also Kamala, one of the 10 tantric goddesses. And in that aspect, she's very gentle and calm and soothing.
The same name as Kamala Harris,
exactly.
Soon to be vice president.
Exactly, exactly.
Wonderful. And what are the other forms of Lakshmi?
Well, those are, she also comes in about, she has a lot of different aspects, and one of them is that she represents 8 different aspects of different goddesses. She's also represented as Shakti, and she's part of Gayatri, and there are other qualities, and I'm not going to use the Sanskrit words because I'm going to mess them up, but they represent victory, hope, faith, firmness and content, forbearance, triumph, humility, and patience.
And those are wonderful aspects. What is her creation story? Because each of the Hindu deities have a creation story.
She has a wonderful creation story. I love her creation story. You know, it's basically believed that the world came alive when Lakshmi was born. And according to the Vishnu Purana, she arose from the milky sea as one of its treasures. Her emergence on the beautiful lotus fully formed, she was bedecked and bejeweled. She was born as a fully created, independent goddess. And there are many, I think that one of the most important stories about her is that she was a result of the stirring of the ocean, because originally she was called Shri, and the gods felt that they had lost Shri. They had lost the light and the prosperity and the joy. And there was a struggle with a demon. There's always a struggle with a demon in Hindu mythology. And the Hindu gods very cleverly got the demons to stir the sea and bring Lakshmi out, along with about 10 other things that were really important, including Amrita.
And what is Amrita?
Well, I think in this context, it is really, you know, the wine of the gods. Let's call it that. And all the celestials, the demons, the humans, they were all enamored by her grace and her beauty and cherished her company. And the sages began to chant hymns and offer her mantras. There was singing, dancing, sacred rivers like the Ganga to flow so that the goddess could have a bath, and all, you know, many beautiful things from the Hindu tradition arose from that milky sea. And she came out on a lotus standing. And one of the first things that happened after the energy of the moment settled is she set her eyes on Vishnu, and he became her mate for life. Everybody wanted to love Lakshmi because she was so beautiful and powerful and brought so many good things to the world. But she selected Vishnu, and as a result, it is said that she goes around with Vishnu in every single incarnation. And of course, Krishna is one of them, and Rama is one of them. And when he's not in a lifetime with her, he wears her on his chest, on his heart.
And I just want to share with our listeners that as our relationship ensued, you were Lorishmi and I was Vishnu.
That's right. And remember we were upstate and we found this like flea market and they had 100 little Hindu necklaces. They were sort of things that go on a chain. Mm-hmm. And you bought me all these things and my first ring. And we were thinking, we'll give some of these away to people because, you know, it's the spirit of Lakshmi.
Absolutely. And just to let everybody know, one of the first gifts I gave Lori Sue when I was courting her, most guys would give flowers or candy or jewelry. I gave her a statue of Lakshmi.
That's right. He wooed me with goddess statues from the very start. But the other thing, the first date we had was a Lakshmi puja.
That's right. We'll talk more about that in our next segment. My guest, my beloved wife, Reverend Lori Sue Brockway. We're talking about her book, Lakshmi Magic. Lori Sue, how can people find about you and the book?
Well, they can go to RevLorieSue.com, RevLorieSue.com.
And what about their books? Where can they get your books?
Oh, they are worldwide on Amazon, and Lakshmi is also on Barnes & Noble, Kobo, and Apple Books.
And we'll be back with more of my beloved Reverend Lori Sue Brockway after these words on the Old Times Radio Network.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
A social distancing tip.
Keeping your distance from others is important in slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are some fun things to do alone. Read a book, take a walk, unpack your suitcase from that trip you took last September, paint a self-portrait, catch up on a TV series, do a puzzle. Remember, we should all stay home to lower the risk for everyone. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Look out, world, we're getting strong. The future's here and we belong.
She can step, she can do more.
Like build a rocket and watch it soar.
Or clean the oceans and make the world a better place.
Cure.
Invent something new.
There's no challenge in the world that she can't face.
She can STEM.
Learn more at She Can STEM. A message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Back on Vox Novus, my guest this week is my soulmate, my beloved, my wife, Reverend Lori Sue Brockway. We're talking about her path with the Hindu goddess Lakshmi. And toward the end of the last segment, we're alluding to the fact that our first date had to do with Lakshmi. What happened?
Well, I was looking for a puja partner in
Explain what a puja is.
Well, a puja is one of the ways that Lakshmi is worshipped in the Hindu tradition. It is a worship service for all gods and goddesses. And I was looking for a partner who could sit with me in temple, who could understand that I wanted to be sitting in the floor next to the Lakshmi icon and listening to chants. I had had a really kind of full life, fun partying, and I was ready to be on a spiritual path. And I always paid attention to signs. It was a Thursday that I got into a cab. I was on my way to the Krishna temple. I wanted to take a look at the altar there and make a prayer. And I got picked up in the pouring rain by this Hindu cab driver. He ended up not only taking me to the temple, he came in with me and he actually, you know, spoke to the people there. He sat and he prayed a little with me. And then he drove me home and he didn't charge. And he asked if we could have a date. So I said, okay. And the night that I was supposed to have dinner with him, you called me and said, can I come in and have lunch with you? And I said, no, not today, because I didn't want to have like two dates in one day. And I also thought, you know what, if something happens that feels like it's going in the right direction with this guy, I don't want to start something new. And sure enough, I go out to dinner. He was lovely. He brought me flowers. He, you know, had a lovely dinner. And then we walked out and we sat in the park around the corner from my house and he tried to kiss me. And I said, wait, what's happening here? He said, I need a girlfriend. I want to make out. And I said, I need a puja partner. Because he also had talked about coming to Diwali services with me at the temple. And so
Diwali is the Hindu festival of light.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is in November on the new moon.
And
anyway,
what happened?
Well, you called me that night, and then I realized that it wasn't meant to be with this other person. So our relationship began maybe the next night. Maybe you came over the next night. It was around Alexander's birthday. I can't remember all the sequence of events, but basically, you called me. I realized that you were the one I was supposed to, you know, be with, and you took me to a Lakshmi Puja on a Friday night at the Hindu temple in Flushing.
Absolutely.
It's our first date.
Absolutely. And here's an interesting story. So Lori Sue's first husband was a cab driver. She almost started that relationship with another cab driver. Here's the synchronicity. My last name in German means cab driver, somebody who drives the horse and buggy, handsome cab driver. So I was the cab driver you were always looking for.
That is so true. And I do have a driver's license, but I prefer to be driven. And you have been driving me for 21 years.
There you go.
So I want to mention, I forgot to say that one of the unusual and beautiful aspects of Lakshmi is that she has four arms. And unless she's with Vishnu, she doesn't need all her arms when she's with him. She's just got two. But usually as she stands as an independent, beautiful woman, she has four arms. Two in the back usually have a lotus in each hand. And then one hand is always pouring coins into the sea of love and prosperity. And the other hand is usually offering some sort of blessing or holding a bunch of coins.
Wonderful.
In a pot.
What's the significance of the lotus in the Hindu tradition? Why is that so special?
Well, it represents purity and the high mind and spirituality. And the reason Lakshmi and all the gods and goddesses are seen on lotuses is, you know, so that their feet don't touch the ground. They are elevated.
So it's sort of
purity.
Sort of a representation of the difference between heaven and earth.
I guess so. I never thought of it that way, but I guess that's one way to interpret it. Yeah.
Now, we talked about the puja, which is a worship service. How is she honored in Hinduism?
Well, you know, there's also, first of all, you know, a puja is, involves a lot of sitting on the floor and lighting a fire in a Havan Kund, and it's, you know, it's different chanting, and it's not something that I know how to do, but you can actually go to a temple and ask a priest. They usually charge $51, and there's always a one at the end of money in Hindu tradition. And they will sit with you and do a puja. And that's how I learned how to worship her, because the priest at the local temple, even though most of them did not speak English at the time, they would lead me through it and they'd show me what to do. They would just point or indicate or, you know, give me sacred material to work with. The other thing is archana, and which is chanting the names of the goddess. And what they used to do at the temple is everybody, like when I went to visit the temple, I'd always bring a gallon of milk, and people would bring yogurt and different things that could go onto the goddess. And literally they would wash the goddess with the milk and the yogurt and fruit and whatever, coconut, whatever people brought, they would make it an offering to the goddess. So you're making that offering, the priest is facilitating it for you. And they would chant her name, and they would chant. And you know, these priests were so amazing because they knew everything by heart. You know, they weren't standing there with a prayer book. And it was really quite, it's quite beautiful. And then they would close the curtains of the icon, and they would, you know, do the final washing with a hose, and they would dry her off, and they would dress her, and then they'd open her door again.
I have to share with you that my first experience with you going to the temple, and that's witnessing a puja, I was totally surprised by the activity that was taking place. In my mind, people would be sitting there quietly meditating, perhaps chanting, but it was a lot of activity, and that activity is part of that worship service.
Well, Hindu worship is so, it's really different than so many other forms of worship, certainly different than the worship that we're used to here, where people sit quietly in a church or synagogue. Hindu people, especially, you know, they go to their temple or, you know, wherever they're worshiping, and they visit the deities, they bow before them, they make financial offerings, and sometimes after worship, they'll put tikka on their head, which is kumkum or some sandalwood, or they'll ring a bell. So you could be sitting there doing a quiet prayer in one corner, and all of a sudden you hear this loud bell ringing at the Ganesh altar, because that is how they worship. And I've noticed people just go with their hands in prayer from icon to icon to icon.
And one of the things that I recognized, and I personally learned when I had that experience with you, is that each of these gods or goddesses represents a different aspect of life. And what people do will go to them and worship by these goddesses and gods in a way of emulating the types of things they'd like to bring into their lives.
Yes, that's very true. And the Hindu pantheon is vast. And there are some main gods, and especially gods that Lakshmi is associated with, like Lord Ganesha. He is the remover of obstacles, the elephant-headed god, and he is the son of Shiva and Parvati. And because of a misunderstanding where his father had his head cut off after when he was a little boy, he is the one who's prayed to first in all worship services.
And Ganesha is the overcomer of obstacles.
Yes, he's the elephant-headed god. And Kubera is the lord of wealth, and Sarasvati is the goddess of wisdom, and Kali is known as the Great Black Mother. She is really the goddess of truth. She also absorbs our sins and our ignorance. And Parvati is the goddess of love and fertility. Durga is considered the goddess from whom all goddesses are spring, because she was actually created by the gods. Because again, another story about a demon. The gods could not slay this demon, and they created Durga out of their weapons and energy. And she is a powerful force that manifests all the best of all the gods.
And she's like a warrior goddess, right? She's depicted with a sword.
Yeah. If you need protection, she is the goddess for that. And of course, we mentioned Kamala, who's one of the 10 wisdom goddesses. And she's also considered an aspect of Lakshmi. And those are just some of the deities that she's involved with. She also has a sister, very few people really know about her, named Alakshmi. And I also have a book called Alakshmi that just really tells the very basic story about who she is and how she's worshipped, because the people of the Hindu tradition will worship her on the night before Diwali Eve, because they feel that it's important to worship the dark side and to honor the negativity, and that in doing so, they can bring in the light of Lakshmi.
So it's sort of embracing the duality of life. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I sometimes look at this as Inanna and Ereshkigal, you know, your dark twin, Isis and Nephthys. You know, every tradition has a dark sister. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of information on Alakshmi, but I think one of the things that we must do is really honor our own shadow selves, and she helps us do that.
Absolutely. How may non-Hindus connect with Lakshmi?
Well, you know, there's a lot of ways that I have discovered over time that kind of allow us to blend the best of tradition with our own way of expressing our love and honoring. Something I have discovered, and it was a little sad at first when I realized it, but I was not born Hindu, and I just do not know how to eloquently speak all the words or do all the practices. I mean, I will go to a puja with a priest. I'll ask, you know, people who are professionals in that field to work with me on certain things. But I've had to learn how to communicate with her without going to India and without, you know, necessarily changing my own religion.
So in essence, what you're doing is you're connecting with the energy that she represents.
That's what I believe, because, you know, first of all, we always see her with elephants. And, you know, it's really easy to get a couple of elephants and a Lakshmi statue and put them together. She's connected to the lotus. One of the things you could do, you can actually grow lotus seeds on your window. And she is connected to a pot. It's called Kalasa, but it's actually a gold pot with gold coins. And, you know, I think it's really cool if you get a beautiful, you can actually get a an Indian pot like that and fill it with coins or fill it with even fake coins as long as they're gold.
Can you give us a couple of examples of prayers to Lakshmi?
Yes. There's one that is my favorite, one of my favorites. There's a part in a Lakshmi magic which offers a number of different prayers to the goddess. Some of them are really the official traditional, and some are those that I've sort of collected from other places. But here is one that's really beautiful. This is by Swami Lalitananda, and it goes like this. O Goddess Lakshmi, abide in my house. O Divine Mother, here I am. I am not a stranger to you. 1,000 dark roads I have walked, searching in the moonlight for you. O Goddess with sparkling eyes, you appear golden like the sun. I hear your conch calling me. Speak to me, for I worship you. O look with love into my soul, grant me golden intellect, enfold me in your fame and glory. O Holy Mother, don't turn away. Let me adore you with prayer, O sweet mother, ever tender. Give me a red lotus of wealth from your hand. Blow out this candle of remorse. O luminous one, give me grace. You reap a golden harvest. Let happiness rain upon me. Drown me in a wave of eternity. Like a silver star you shine. Secretly you watch from above. Give me a drop of heaven. Let the pearls of wisdom fall. O Divine Mother, here I am, cold and hungry in the raging seas. In a world of time and space, give me the cup of immortality. I implore you, O Goddess Lakshmi, abide in my house forevermore.
That was lovely. Do you have another one you can share with us?
Yes, this is from Rituals and Festivals of India by Tara Bhatpat. You are auspicious among all auspicious things. You are holy and fulfill our wants. You are the one to whom we surrender. You are the mother having three aspects of nature. You are the consort of Vishnu. I bow down to you.
That was beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. My guest is my beloved Reverend Lori Subrakwe. We'll be back with more of Lori after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that we can give our daughters everything they need to grow and learn. But not every child can focus on classes and play dates.
Nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. face hunger. That's one in six. School lunch might be their only meal each day, and it's heartbreaking to imagine any child going to bed hungry. We're dreaming of a perfect day when kids can smile, play, and just be kids without worrying about where their next meal will come from. Feeding America is working to make that perfect day a reality.
Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste. That food is given to families and children in need. Being a kid should be about doing things that make an ordinary day extraordinary. Learning to play an instrument, building a sandcastle, hosting tea parties. Hunger should never be an obstacle to growing up.
You can help end childhood hunger in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Back on Vox Novus, my guest is Reverend Lori Subrakwe, who also happens to be my beloved wife and my soulmate. Lori Sue, tell us about some of the other things that you have in terms of appreciating Lakshmi.
Well, I think one of the most important things is to get an image of her. It's also great to get an icon of her because in Hindu worship, It is believed that the goddess comes alive in the icons, but she also comes alive in the photos. And, you know, I know that these are difficult times for people. She is a prosperity goddess, but you can actually find her photo on the internet very easily. And you can bring, sort of print it out and put it in a little frame and begin your altar. It's great if you can light a candle to her every day. It's great if you could say a prayer to her every day, even if it's something you make up or something. As I said, there's a bunch of prayers in Lakshmi Magic that help people connect with her. But again, you can also find something like that on the internet. And, you know, Lakshmi loves cleanliness. So clean your house and really clean it. And if you're having trouble and if you're having financial troubles, especially clean out anything that represents the negativity. And even if you have just a pile of bills sitting in front of you, put them in front of your Lakshmi altar and ask her to help you pay them. Also, you can write a letter to her. I have noticed in Hindu worship that people actually bring written material to Lakshmi. Sometimes you can write her a letter, like you write a letter to Santa Claus, and tell her ways that you would hope to have her help.
And you have a Lakshmi prosperity journal, don't you?
Yes, I do. Thank you. I forgot about that. I actually created that so that people can have a way of connecting with her. And it's called the Lakshmi Wealth Journal, and it's 108 wishes to Lakshmi. And you could do it either as a program that lasts about 3.5 months, over 3 months, where you make a wish a day to Lakshmi, or you could do it in segments of 9.
And it's also a way of focusing your energy on those things that you aspire to. And it's sort of like manifestation.
Exactly. Because in the journal, it actually explains exactly how you can do a writing ritual in the morning. And then you make a wish to Lakshmi. There's a little image of Lakshmi in the journal. And you write your wish right under her icon. And then you say a prayer. It's a traditional 6-stanza prayer that you can say every day. And I think it's a really powerful way to connect with her.
Now, how did the book Lakshmi Magic come to be?
When I acquire a certain amount of wisdom or knowledge, I like to do an article or write a book about it and share it with other people. It's just the way I am. And when I realized the power of Lakshmi, I decided I wanted to do my first goddess book on the goddess Lakshmi because she was part of my everyday life. She was part of my family. And I really thought that she could help people. So I put together a book proposal, and my agents at the time, Ariel Ford and Brian Hilliard, took it to Penguin, and there was a beautiful editor there, Jennifer, who fell in love with the idea, and she said, I'd like to see a Lakshmi book where Lakshmi does this and that, like a bunch of different things to help young women on their path in life and with the goddess. And I went back home and I started to work on it. And I realized that I just didn't think I could assign Lakshmi all the kind of aspects that she wanted to include in the book. So I said, what if I wrote a book of like 50 goddesses who could do those things? And it turned out I wrote the book, I got the contract for the book, A Goddess is a Girl's Best Friend. And Lakshmi was one of the goddesses, but it turned out there were 35 goddesses and spiritual heroines. And that book became one of my bestsellers and was my first tribute to the goddess. And it's had a few incarnations. I just brought it out again for the first time as an ebook, and it's got a new paperback with a new cover, and I still love that book.
And that now is called The Goddess Pages.
Yes, it's called The Goddess Pages. They got a name change along the way.
That's wonderful. And then so all that time transpired, and then finally in 2020,
right.
What happened?
What happened is actually I did an ebook in, I think, 2010 for Self-Healing Expressions. They asked me to do a book on Lakshmi. So I did the first ebook. I had actually written a lot of it in the year 2000. I had done a lot of the research and stuff. So I did an updated version. And then I got the rights back to that. And I brought it out in 2015. I brought her out in her own little ebook. But I never got around to doing the paperback. And finally, this year, I reworked the book, and she's updated and ready to roll in her own paperback and a new ebook with a new cover.
And what are some of the things that you feature in Lakshmi Magic?
Well, it really has sort of an A to Z on Lakshmi, and it talks about everything from, you know, who she is, how to get to know her. It tells you in more detail her birth story, her biography, the many facets of her, the many names, and her symbols and her colors and the things that she's attracted to. It talks about how to appreciate her, tips for creating a sacred space with Lakshmi, and, you know, ways to build that altar, write that letter, offer her flowers, cook food that she likes, take a Lakshmi bath, maybe in basil or lotus oil. She loves basil, that's why. But you will smell a little bit like pesto sauce afterwards. Just use a teeny bit, like a half a teaspoon. And then, you know, there are ways to honor her with oil and lights and candles. And it talks about her holidays and the different ways to celebrate her and the way she celebrated in the Hindu faith. It's just really sort of an A to Z to help you at least get started with Lakshmi.
And my interpretation of this and other works that you've done on the goddess, for those who might say they're a little bit put off by the concept of something other than their birth faith or religion or a religious practice, is that what you're doing, and when you recognize Lakshmi, you're actually looking for those attributes within yourself.
Yes, I think you're 100% right about that. And you're also looking for the attributes that you want to create. And you know what? Not everybody can have a dream and take action and make it happen on their own. They need help. And sometimes you get help from the physical world, and sometimes you get help from the spiritual world. And Lakshmi is one of the spiritual guides and helpers and support systems to help us get back on track financially, and to also help us expand our own spiritual awareness and appreciation. And I believe also because of her being born fully formed on a lotus, just as Venus was born fully formed on a half shell, both from the ocean, that she models the idea of the divine female in the world and as part of us. We are goddesses.
Absolutely. I understand that you have a program in the works for people who want to work with Lakshmi's energy.
I have been working on a Lakshmi Path program for a while now, and I'm just sort of, I had to finish Lakshmi's book and the Lakshmi Wealth Journal and some other things, but I will, you know, when that's a full program available, I will keep you informed of that.
At a time when the energy of mother, of mom, of a loving mother is so necessary in this world after the horrors that we went through in 2020, what would you like readers to take away from this?
Well, I believe that Lakshmi is a mother, and she will mother us. And in fact, I believe that when my own mother died, I was able to turn to Lakshmi as my divine mother and lay my head on her shoulder and give her all my tears and my grief and my prayers and my wishes. And I do believe that the goddess is in all things, as is God. And it's just another aspect of the divine that lives within us and is in our world and accessible. And it's not for everybody to follow a goddess path. And sometimes you just include the goddess or include the energy of a particular goddess like Lakshmi, and you don't have to become a goddess worshiper per se.
And for those who may want a different type of affinity, what are some of the other goddesses that you have in the goddess pages that they can aspire to work with?
Oh my goodness, everybody's in there. Durga, Isis, that's the actual goddess Isis. Hathor, the beauty goddess in the Egyptian pantheon.
Now, one of the statues that we have in our house, we have several versions of this, is the Bodhisattva Kuan Yin. Bodhisattva, the expression Om Mani Padme Hum, the chant Om Mani Padme Hum, which means Om or Hail the Jewel in the Lotus. And the jewel in the lotus is the Bodhisattva. Tell us about Kuan Yin.
Well, Kuan Yin is the goddess of compassion, and she does exist in many different Asian traditions. And she represents and really carries and will take from us our pain and our grief. And she pours, she's often seen pouring into the waters, pouring the tears of the world into the water for healing.
And the Bodhisattva is referred to as the jewel in the lotus because of the fact that this is a person who's completed all their karma, can go on and never have to reincarnate again, but has taken a pledge to stay within the realm of the world until every tear is dried in every eye. What a wonderful gift of compassion.
Yes, she is really known as the Merciful Mother. And she is a goddess of compassion and the one that we turn to when we need compassion in our lives and when we need to be more compassionate.
And also to have compassion for ourselves and love for ourselves. My guest, my beloved Reverend Lori Sue Brockway, author of the new book, Lakshmi Magic. Please tell our listeners how they can get your books and find out more about you and all of the amazing work that you do.
Thank you, honey. You can go to my website, which is RevLoriSue.com. That's RevLauriSue.com. And my books are available through Amazon worldwide.
Reverend Lori Sue Brockway, it is so wonderful to have you on to share your wisdom of the feminine divine and all of the wonderful things that you bring into this world. And I want to say it's my pleasure to be your husband.
Oh, thank you, honey. I love you.
I love you too. And thank you for joining us on Vox Novus. I'm Victor, the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.